Welcome to the Fulham on the Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 6:10 British Summer Time. This is the big picture, long-term Friday audio. So what I'll do is I'll skip quickly through today's developments and then onto our big long-term themes. And today has had some pretty interesting action here in the equity markets. The European markets in particular were pretty dull throughout the day, but towards the end of the session, they rallied really quite significantly, with Italy, Germany, the France, and the Stoxx 50 all up over 1%. The DAX was up 1.62%, and the Italian index was up 1.47%. So those are really good, quiet reassertions. And what we saw yesterday was that they were starting to make equal or just slightly lower lows, and that's been quite a good reassertion there. But what we are seeing in other, and obviously Europe has been the leader, really in this move since late April. But what we are seeing in the US in particular is we're not seeing that kind of strength at all. The Nasdaq is up 1, S&P is up 1.9, and the Dow Jones is up 26. So all really very, excuse me, quite really quite dull sort of trading in the US at the moment. And you'll see from those charts I posted yesterday, those sort of rounding top formations. And if you look at the longer term charts, particularly in the US, they just don't look like they're going up in the same sort of consistent manner that these European indices have been making new highs. We also are seeing quite a few downward dynamics across Asia. In Japan was down a bit today, made up some of it, but it did open lower. But still fine, holding those gains above the 12,000 level. I don't want to stress 12,000 too much. It is a big round number. I mean, but in this first step above the base, to see some ranging activity and maybe quite some violent ranging activity wouldn't be at all surprising. The Hang Seng was down 109 points. That's almost 0.75%. Bit of support there at 15,000, at least in the short term. And Australia was up a little bit in here today. I don't think it quite made a new high. So we are seeing a little bit of weakness creep into some of the Asian markets, particularly markets like Malaysia, Indonesia. Thailand's no, none too good, and neither is Taiwan. So we might be seeing a little bit of a correction in there. But what we I won't move quite onto the big theme quite yet. Just have another couple of words, this time about commodities. Gold is down 260, sorry, 253 at the moment. It's at 437.17. So we are seeing quite a definite reaction from that 450 level it hit really at the beginning of the week, at the end of last week. Platinum is currently down 3.7. It's at 889. So it does look like platinum is that bit weaker in here as well. Silver's flat on the day, and palladium's down 75 cents. But that was they went up yesterday into some dollar strength. They're down a little bit in here today. The dollar is flat more or less in here today. Euro is down 0.6 thousandths, so flat on the day. The yen is almost flat on the day. It's down 10 points. It's at 110.43, and cable is up just a little bit. It's 179.59. So not a lot to say in the short term, just today, about the dollar, but we have had a really quite a good rally here over the last week in the dollar index. So dollar index going straight through that little bit of resistance at 88. The big question now is whether we're going to see it make a lower high, or is it going to go right up and test the top of the range. If we saw a lower high, that would be quite bearish for the dollar, because we have a lower low now. If we saw a lower high and then we saw it falling off again, then we could say that what we've seen right now has been just a little bit of a retracement in the continuation of the downtrend, the longer term downtrend in the dollar. But we're not going to really know that. I would say that because we are in this sort of rangy pattern, that the battle between supply and demand is pretty well balanced right here. Oil is really quite strong in here today. It's up nearly $2 at 65.20. I think that's pretty much on the back of news that there's some political tension in Nigeria. And Nigeria is important from the point of view that the oil they have there is very low in sulfur, so it's exactly what the Texas refineries use. So that's so Nigeria is one to watch, and also Ecuador. I think they usually produce 200,000 barrels, but it's down to 10,000 barrels today because of strikes by workers or protests. So a little bit of political tensions hitting the oil price, so it's going up a bit. And you also have that. I mean, there is still refineries don't just pop out of the air, and while people tend to just forget about them because it's just a continuing problem, there just is not enough of refinery capacity. So what we have seen in oil, though, is we're starting to see a little bit of acceleration. Now, acceleration is an ending signal. We haven't seen an awful lot of acceleration. If we see something, a chart starting to go parabolic, that's obviously when you get the very best part of the move, but it's an ending signal to us because it's unsustainable in the long term. So these things are definitely things to watch. Oil has come off quite strongly this week. It's doing quite well in here today. But if we see it go into next week making new highs and going up really quite quickly, that's going to tell us that it's going to come off even sharper when it does come off. And if you look at the longer term chart, you'll see that there's a fantastic progression of rising lows, and any time we get down to those levels, it's going to be a buy. And you might be asking yourself, is this are we in a permanently bullish scenario? Is this going to really push up this time? Well, we're still really in the very early stages of the bull market in commodities. This could very well last for the next 10 to 12, 15 years. So when you ask, are we going to come back to those rising lows? Well, the chances are very much in favor of that. And it's just, are we going to see it right now? Well, then maybe not. Natural gas is also doing very well in here today. It's up 22 points at 9.15 and a half. So good action there in natural gas. I'm just going to take a little break here to take a drink of water. Excuse me. So that's pretty much it for what's happening in the markets today. Bonds are pretty flat. I was a bit remiss because I saw on that weekly chart I posted up there of the treasuries today that last week was a weekly key reversal on treasuries. So that really is quite a good signal that we have seen a reversal now on the in the treasury markets. So on to the big themes. And starting out with stock markets, and we believe that stock markets are in a secular long bear market, and we define that as a generational long period of PE ratio contraction and rising dividend yields. So what exactly does that mean? What it really means is that over when we're in a big bull market in stock markets, what people are happy to buy stocks because they're going up in price, and they don't concentrate too much on the yield because it's the price is doing absolutely everything for it. So by the time we got to the top of the bubble, the average dividend yield on the S&P was about 1%, which is paltry. It's up around 2% now, but at the bottom of the last bear market, the S&P was yielding over 6%. So that'll give you an idea of where we think yields will be going on in stock markets over the course of this move. And this move is over really we're talking more in the line of over a decade as opposed to a couple of years. But that's not to say that stock markets are going to go down in a linear fashion. What we're going to see are rolling waves of contraction and expansion. We're really in an expansionary period at the moment, and stock markets have not given us any clear indication that the rally we saw beginning in the, at 2003 is over. What we are seeing is a definite loss of momentum. The very best part of that move was at the first about 8 to 9 months, and since then it's sort of been tailing off. So what we're seeing right now is a loss of momentum. And that's really making trading quite difficult. It's not really time to sell, but it's definitely a time to raise stops on these things. And we do think that a correction is coming. Do we think it's going to happen this year? Well, probably not. But next year is the second year of the presidential cycle, which is, in general, the worst year. It's when the excesses of the election year really start to get paid for. You're 2 years away from the next election year, so that's also one to keep an eye on. And we think that we'll probably get a reasonably big reaction next year sometime. I was brought to mind just this week of the decennial pattern as well. I remember back in January hearing about this. It's a pattern that every year that is a multiple of five, so all the zeros and fives turn out to be good years for stock markets, and that's fairly well, that is playing out reasonably well at the moment. We will see how it works out in December. That's not something I would actually trade on, mind you. So, but we are in a period of a lengthy sort of mean reversion on Wall Street, and it's very possible that the S&P could have a glass ceiling around 1575. That's more or less in the same sort of period where the Dow Jones had a generational long ceiling at around 1025 a number of decades ago. So that's obviously quite a long way away from where we are right now. And are we going to get there right away? Probably not. This is a very long-term scenario. Bear markets do take a long time to play out because you've lost a whole generation of investors. And that's exactly what they had in Japan. And Japan is in the latter stages of its base formation. And what we're seeing right now is that it had developed a very long base from 1990 up to about April 2003. It had a very good acceleration up from there. Then it went sideways. 12,000 is where a number of highs had been in that base formation. It's broken above that right now. And at the moment, it's holding it. What it needs to do is to keep above that level for an extensive period. When it's done that and started to accelerate again, then we will have said that it's completed its first step above the base. And that is probably one of the best signals you can get that we have, that's really our confirmation, in fact, that we are out of the bear market and we're into a new bull market. Now, that hasn't happened just yet. So it's a little bit early yet to be getting very excited about Japan. There has been an enormous amount of commentary which has been getting increasingly excited about Japan. But as regards the chart patterns, we're still in the early stages of that. And conversely, the very, very late stages of that basing formation. But one of the things that is a constant factor in stock markets in particular is liquidity. And what we are seeing at the moment is a massive pump of liquidity coming into the markets, and it's been going on for really quite a long time. Started out with long-term capital management, I believe. Then there was a pump of liquidity because to support markets. Then there was the Asian financial crisis, more pumping, Y2K. Then there was the bursting of the bubble. Then 9/11. So lots and lots of money being pumped into the system, and that has created it's a tide that lifts all boats, where all this money coming into the system, lots of cheap money around the place. So that is helping a lot of asset classes. When they start to take in this liquidity, that's going to weigh quite heavily on markets, and it's really only the ones that have very good fundamental stories are going to perform. So, what are the really good fundamental stories that we see out there? The first is the boom in resources, and that's very closely linked to the second, which is the reflation of Asia. And particularly after the Asian financial crisis, a lot of these Asian economies had a really hard time. The chart patterns, especially, for example, Korea, Taiwan to a much lesser extent, and India. India is our favorite stock market for the very long term, precisely because it, even though what we're seeing right now is amazingly good action. It's really only breaking out of what is really a 12 to 15 year base formation. So what India is doing right now, Korea is on the cusp of starting to do. Very different stories. Obviously, India has all of the advantages that China has as regards population. It also has quite a good, quite a highly educated population and quite a large population. So it can compete on a number of areas. It's also pretty much behind the ball on the infrastructure development, and once it starts getting its act together on that, then there will be a lot more opportunities there. Of course, it's also a liberal democracy, so it has all of the stability that goes with that, and the international relations with the Western world obviously improve the more democratic it is. So, but that's really what we think of Asia is our growth story. And the Asian reflation story is certainly one to keep an eye on, and is one that will play out over a significant number of years. But of course, that will fuel the drive for in commodities. And there's a lot of talk about China's massive appetite for commodities. But as we see the rest of Asia developing, and indeed India, that is going to just exacerbate the problem in commodities. And commodities had been in a 20-year bear market. There hasn't been a refinery built in the US in 20 years, and there hasn't been a lead smelter built, I think, since 1976. So it just wasn't economic to put any kind of money into the resources needed. That's probably a bad choice of words. The infrastructure needed to get resources out of the ground and into production. These things take really quite a long time. And since exploration was completely neglected because there just wasn't any money in it, that whole process has to start up again. So it's going to be a long time before we see excess capacity coming into the metal markets. Now, while metals are really a very, very interesting asset class, metals can be recycled. So while there's a limited amount of it around, the higher it goes in value, the greater value the scrap metal will be. But you can't recycle energy products. You can't recycle oil or natural gas or gasoline or diesel. So, of the two, we would say that our favorite are the energies. And from that point of view, these energy commodities are quite volatile, and while they are going up really quite precipitously at the moment, they can come down quite quickly. So it's one to sort of tighten stops on right now. But this is a story that will go on for quite a long time. As soon as as people start using cars, they're not going to want to go back to riding bicycles. And this is the type of thing that takes governments out of power. So the thirst for oil is only going to go up in the world. If there's a real geopolitical risk, it's that we will have wars in the future, specifically about natural resources. But I don't think that's going to happen right away. Excuse me. So the other major issue is that, and it's something that we can't forget, is a lot of people you'll hear now, particularly about Japan, that it's going to uncouple from the US. And the chances of that really are quite low. And we talk about, David particularly talks about the Wall Street leash effect. And what that is that when the US is steady to rising, it lets the leash out and it allows other markets to grow quite well. And because most markets are high beta US, they will do surprisingly well when the US is steady to rising. However, when the US starts to fall, it will pull in these markets really quite hard, and they will come down that bit faster than the US will come down. But what we are seeing is that in Asia, you have these fantastic rising lows. So even though they're coming down, they won't come down as fast as they went up. So the US is really the most important market in the world, and one we have to continue to watch, particularly at the moment, because while you have these really good reassertions in Europe here today, You don't have that in Asia, which is often a leader, but you don't have it in the US either, at least not right now. It's about 1:30 in the afternoon in New York right now. We haven't seen any confirmation of this upward move in Europe just yet. But that obviously there's all to play for there. What we are seeing in the US right now is a complete loss of momentum. We're starting to see lower highs creeping into this range, particularly in the Dow Jones. The Nasdaq has been quite weak, and it looks like it's going to go down and test support at 2,000. That's if it goes below 2,000, that's going to be a bit of a reality check, I think, for a lot of markets, and that could signal some reversals in Europe. So pretty much all to play for there in the stock markets. Obviously, treasury markets are very closely linked, and we would say that really that the treasury markets are the soft underbelly of the US stock market rally. We see right now that prices are starting to go up and yields are coming down. If you look at the long-term yield charts, you can see that these yields have been coming down for over 25 years, and that downward trend is starting to lose momentum. Once we see yields starting to rise once more, that is really going to be a drag on stock markets. It would also feed into our theme or our definition of a bear market being dividend yields rising and contracting valuations. So, and weakness in bonds will start to unnerve investors because of those rising yields. And if the yields start going up, right, long-term rates, they are going to impact stock markets. There's just no doubt about it. There's a massive consensus at the moment that bond prices can only go up, but that's just simply not the case. Right now, it's probably not going to be the time we're going to see them fall out of bed, but these things are, particularly on the yield charts. If you look at the yield charts, anytime you see these treasuries go to under 4%, or 4% on the 10-year at least, it's probably a chance to start selling bonds. But that's something to keep an eye on. So next question is, do we think that the dollar is bottoming out? It's been coming down for 3 years. It's had a very, very good rally. We have seen some reconfirmation of that rally in the last 3 or 4 days. But at the moment, what we definitely can say is that you never really get these generational long trends in currencies, because no country wants to have a permanently strong currency, so that they're just not going to happen. You do get these big moves for 2 or 3 years, and then you generally get into extensive ranging patterns. What we saw, for example, in the dollar back in 1999, 2000, early 2002, was a very extensive ranging pattern, where you had a glass ceiling at 120 on the dollar index, and you had rising lows coming up towards it until they were broken, which went into a fairly steep downtrend. Well, right now, you're seeing a floor coming in at 80, which is around the historic lows, and a bit of resistance coming in around 90. The next question is, since we've seen it fall back from 90 and now it's starting to rally up again, a good upward dynamic on the weekly chart, is it going to go hit 90 again, or is it going to go up and make new highs? If it goes up and makes new highs, then for the medium term we'd have to be bullish of dollars. However, if it doesn't, there's a good chance we'll see it over the next 3 or 4 months make its way gradually back down towards the 80 level, probably not reach the absolute lows, then turn back around again. But again, these we should see extensive ranging on a base in the dollar. So that will have an impact particularly on the commodity markets. And of these, the precious metals will most certainly be the ones to benefit or benefit most from dollar weakness. And what we are seeing at the moment, I would say that we're in the second psychological stage of the precious metals bull market. The reason we're in a bull market in these metals, particularly the precious metals, well, the precious metals, is because of the fiat currencies we're in now and the policy that we've had over the last number of years of just printing money. And the more money they print, the less our dollars are going to be worth. So we're coming into a stage now where gold is breaking out in a number of other reserve currencies, particularly in yen. And what that's saying is that people are starting to realize that the monetary metals have actual value. Until 3 years ago, you saw that Rothschilds were closing their gold desk, Merrill Lynch closed their commodities desk, and the central banks were selling all their gold, particularly here in the UK. That was the maximum bearish time on gold, and we're still really only in the very early stages of the bull market. So what we will eventually start to see is that while now we have a very, very strong correlation between gold and the dollar, that correlation is gradually starting to loosen up. And the longer we go, or the further we go into this bull market, the more that correlation will loosen. So there's a good chance right now, because gold is definitely range trading, while the dollar is, well, has been consolidating really, and it has broken below that consolidation over the last 6 or 7 weeks. Gold has been ranging for about 6 months. We were at the top of the range quite recently, around 450. It really wouldn't be surprising if we came back to above 420. Sorry, about 425. And on platinum has been very strong, but we saw absolutely terrifying downward dynamics this week. It's currently at 889. The lows are around 860. I'd be surprised if we see 860, but we might see something around 870, and it's probably a buy in there as well. Again, all depending on what the dollar does. And David trades silver for its volatility, calling it high beta gold, but silver has been really quite a has been a dove really quite recently. It's been really very quiet indeed. But our golden rule, the rule of thumb for commodities trading, is never pay up for commodities. And I can definitely testify that that is a difficult thing to do, because I made the boo-boo twice this week. I had Or last week I bought platinum around 918, because it really looked like it was on its way this time, but no, it wasn't, and it fell pretty almost $40. And gold, I bought some more. I got stopped out of my gold position, which I had bought at a low level, and then I jumped back in, and I got punished for it. So it's an almost certainty that you're going to make money if you buy them after reactions. And it's also a certainty that if you buy them at the top of the range, you could easily get punished for it. So our rule of thumb, don't pay up for commodities. And that also applies to the agricultural commodities. Agricultural commodities at the moment are pretty much the only one of the commodities asset class that are cheap. And particularly if you look at some of the grains. Just going to pull up the corn chart. Corn yesterday looked like it was starting to rally from the bottom of the range. It's around 220. It's down today. I wouldn't be surprised to see it around 200. And if it got down to 200, I think it would be a screaming buy. So just a quick look at soybeans. Soybeans are down 13. They're at 606, so a little bit of support there at around the 600 level. But there's plenty of open water under 600. They could quite easily go to 550. So agricultural commodities getting cheap, and they'll probably get cheaper. So ones to keep an eye on, so that when they really do get hammered, that's going to be a good time to pick them up. And I think we are going to get that opportunity. Cocoa is also coming right back into the bottom of the range, so that'll be one to probably pick up on that first upward dynamic, and that's probably not too far away either, probably in the next 5 or 6 weeks. These agricultural commodities are definitely ones to keep an eye on. So With that last thought, I think that's pretty much it from me. If there's anything at all we can do to improve the service, please don't hesitate to contact me. And thank you very much for your time.